I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't love this particular solution because we can't act as if there isn't a cost. Right now, the intensity of the rivalries in the division and the fact that winning the division means something, it matters and it makes the games more fun. And you see that different divisions in football develop different styles of play in order to beat each other, which then makes it even more exciting when we get into the playoffs. I do think that we have to acknowledge that it comes with the cost. And the cost is to be like all the other sports where the divisions don't matter nearly as much. And right now, I love that the divisions matter a lot. I love that in off-season teams are spending a lot of their time developing their roster and their schemes to beat the guys in front of them. It matters and it's fun to me.
Dominic Foxworth on the proposal to change the NFL playoff seeding. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Nate Geary in for Joe today. We'll get into this a little bit. Had some numbers on it for you yesterday. I have come all the way and decided firmly, yes, I am a vote.
I have too.
I'm a vote yes to changing the playoff seeding.
You convinced me, actually, yesterday.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I was kind of a firm no for almost the exact reasons Dominic Foxworth had mentioned there in the clip.
On that clip, how right is that? Ready?
I don't think it's that right. If that's true, yeah.
If that's true, I'd like you to name for me the different styles that each division plays.
Yeah, there's not a triple option.
No. I think the first thing you'd say is the AFC North is rough and tough, okay?
Sure.
Next division you'd like to say has a division identity. The AFC South is a bunch of random teams that nobody cares about.
Their scheme is that they're all bad.
What are the divisional identities? The NFC North is
cold.
Two domes and two cold teams.
Yeah.
The NFC West is
California.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Arizona. I mean, are there... Sure, rivalries. Sure. There are some rivalries. Who's the Bills' biggest rival right now?
The Chiefs?
Yeah. Who's Baltimore's biggest rival? The Chiefs?
The Chiefs.
Who's Kansas City's biggest rival?
The Bills?
Maybe. Maybe the Bengals? They don't get along with them. Who's Philadelphia's biggest rival? Is it... I mean, the Niners, that got kind of nasty for a little while there.
It did.
Maybe it's the Giants. Okay, it's the Giants.
Sure.
Like, sure, you play a team a lot, you're going to have rivalries. But the point made there by Dominic Foxworth is the same point the NHL makes. You're forcing rivalries rather than just let them be organic.
Yep.
Just let them happen. Anyway, all right, here's where I land on this. And if you want to give us a call, 803-0550. We expect two votes in the NFL today on two different rule changes. And I've posted at Twitter, if you had to vote for passage of one, which would you vote for? Banning the tush push, changing the playoff seating. I think neither is expected to be passed today, but we'll see. Might be close. They need 24 votes to pass. And if you had to vote for one, to pass one, ban the tush push, change the playoff seating.
Definitely playoff seating. I think it affects more teams.
Sure. I think that's right. The banning of the playoffs, or rather the changing of the playoff seating to me seems more reasonably justified than the tush push, which my biggest reason to ban that is just I think it looks lame. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
And rather than make a point about safety, I just don't like it. My team does it. My favorite team.
Right.
And I still like. I don't really like that.
Still don't like it.
I like the regular quarterback sneak that we lived with for decades and decades. You just have that one back. Okay, so can I find 24 teams that should vote to change the playoff seating? And here's how I would lay this out. The NFL is not equal across all 32 teams. Bills fans, we knew this during the drought, and we now live on the other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
During the drought, the Bills were in a division with Tom Brady, and he ate their lunch every day. Or ate them for lunch, or with both.
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 Ate them and also
the
ate
Bills
their
were
lunch.
Obviously not a competitive team. to a level to talk about a Super Bowl, but they were also probably artificially low based on losing to him 36 times. How many times did the Arizona Cardinals have to play Tom Brady? I think it was twice.
Yeah, not
and the
not
Bills had
as much.
Twice a year.
Yep.
If the Bills were in another division during the drought, chances are they probably make a playoff appearance once. I would stand by that.
I would too.
The same way that you might say if the Bills were in the NFC, they might have a Super Bowl appearance by now because there's not Andy Reid in Kansas City standing in their way to knock them out four times. Instead, it would be, oh, can you get by the Niners, a team that you've dismantled mm-hmm. in the regular season twice now? Can you get by the Rams, another team that you have shown some success against?
Yeah.
You know, the format, whatever, you don't have to change every format. Who should vote for a change in the playoff seeding? Let me give you three teams. New England, Miami, and the Jets. Because
yes.
The reality is, hey, it would be nice to have a home playoff game.
Las Vegas, LA, Denver.
Yes.
All of them should want
We're up to six.
Yep.
Because how are they going to host a playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
You can either beat Josh Allen out in a season, something that has not happened since he's basically become who he is. You could beat out Patrick Mahomes. Or, then again, if you're like, you know, the Falcons, you can beat out the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, who's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Not the same. The parity of the NFL is supposed to bring worst to first. It's supposed to, the turnover is there. They like it. They want it to feel like the Titans aren't that far away. How far away are the Titans? Not that far away. They are in a division that does not really have any sort of king
right.
in it in the same way that the AFC West and the AFC East do. So if I'm in a division like that, of course I want to beat that team. I'm not going to stop trying that. But what is the Las Vegas Raiders' best chance to host a playoff game in the next 15 years?
This format.
It's the rule change.
Yeah.
Because they might get a wild card. They might finish 12-5.
Sure.
What are the chances they get over Mahomes? I don't think they're very good.
I don't think they're good
or
at all. Yeah.
If you're in a division that is stacked, like Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
The NFC North.
The NFC North. These teams should realize, rather than try and get to the top of my division is the only way I can get a home playoff game. Meanwhile, teams that are not that good in divisions that are weak, they get one?
Yeah.
That's not exactly fair.
And like yesterday, I think we were joking about the Mannings, right? But when did Manning finally beat Brady? When he had him in Indianapolis.
He had a home game.
And I think if the league, and maybe the league doesn't want this, but one of the great things, and I talked about this yesterday, but one of the great things about the NBA playoffs right now is there's one of these four teams are going to win the championship. Three of them have never won. The last time one of them has won is the Knicks in 73. That's good for the league. It's new markets. It's showcasing new players. The NFL has the same teams over and over again.
Yeah, we have a bit of an illusion of parity in the NFL.
Yes. It's the same. I think there's parity in the bottom half of the league where bad mm-hmm. teams can be better and then decent ones can go bad. But there isn't that change every year where there's new blood, new teams, new quarterbacks, new faces in the Super Bowl or really even in the Final Four. I mean, the Final Four in the AFC, it's been one of three quarterbacks, four quarterbacks.
And we saw that for a long time during the Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning era where mm-hmm. one of the two was in the AFC Championship game for 13 consecutive years.
Right. And all we talk about is everything's going through Arrowhead all the time.
Yep. I support it.
I do too.
The tradition of the divisions, the tradition of the AFC South. I mean, the AFC South Invitational, we kind of joke about that. I'm sure the teams in the AFC South
probably don't. But
who knows, right? The Saturday yeah. playoff game that starts every single time, it's that division. I just think that these divisions are romanticized in a way that isn't really represented. It isn't real. Mm. Now I have four division winners and three wild cards. I almost have as many teams that didn't win divisions as did mm-hmm. in the playoffs. There are eight division winners and six wild cards. And I don't know if they'll expand that, but I want to say it's possible. They're always looking to get more
games. It's possible. I wouldn't doubt it because I do think they eventually will want to get back to a place where two teams get a bye. I do think they miss that.
Yep.
I think the league probably wants that.
Are they going to give three teams a bye then? Because what's the number go to? Does it go to nine teams per conference?
That'd be too much.
I don't know.
Be too
but
much.
The divisions themselves, I mean, they've been around for 20 years now. Are we like, when did the Colts leave?
Yeah.
It all happened when the Texans came in?
Yep.
Okay.
And they had to
So it's been a while with eight divisions, and the math of it works out really well. But if you missed it yesterday, we had the numbers on this, that the winning percentage of teams that finish with the 4 seed versus teams that finish with the 5 seed outside of their division, it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
5 seeds, what are they? Often, they are teams in a really good division that have a great record beating the rest of the league.
And there are a lot of times, in the case of last year in the NFC, was the loser of the NFC North the second best team in the NFC?
Yeah. What you have is, we're going to play the entire league together, everybody. Everyone's going to play everybody plays your schedule. And then, whoever has the most wins, not in your division.
Mm-hmm.
You can go 6-0 in your division and not win it because you finished behind a team that had a better record than you.
Right.
Which is kind of strange.
Super strange.
Right? Let's say the Patriots go 6-0 in the division and finish 11-6. And the Bills go 12-5. The Bills are the AFC East champs.
Yep.
That doesn't exactly make sense, but it's true.
Yeah, so you can't necessarily say this current format is all about division.
Because it's not. It's who had the best record in your division.
Yeah.
So when doing the division, it's the best record is the top seed. And yet when doing the actual playoffs, it's who won the division. It's not your record.
And your division record is what, the third tiebreaker?
Well, it's the first tiebreaker in your actually division. It depends if like you're going AFC record.
Yes. Right, because it's conference record and it's like opponents, and then I'm pretty sure it's division, right?
Yeah, in conference, it's head-to-head, conference record, common games, strength of victory, strength of schedule. There is no division.
So there you go.
The division record comes in, I think, when there's three-way ties. Yeah, divisional tiebreakers, head-to-head, then divisional record.
So it's not even really being used as a tiebreaker.
No, head-to-head is first.
Yes.
So if you were to go 2-0 against the Patriots but have a worse division record than them, your head-to-head wins.
Yes.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a little bit of strange math here for the divisional records. I support it. I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's, you know, any sort of crime if they don't. But what would the result be? The reason they want to do it is not even really to reward home games. The best example of this are the Rams and the Texans last year. I was listening to the afternoon show. I think it was the afternoon show. Somebody was breaking this down.
When the Rams didn't care about their last...
The Rams and the Texans knew, okay, we got our home game.
Yep.
The division is over. We got our home game. We don't really care about the 3 versus the 4.
Right.
We got our home game. We can shut it down for 2 weeks, basically. Had this new format that they're talking about approving go into effect...
It would have forced them to be...
Yeah, because they could have dropped all the way to the 7.
Sure.
Houston would have gone from playing at home to going on the road to play the 2 seed Bills. There's 2 weeks left in the season. You could go anywhere from 3 to 7 in the standings.
That's...
You have to continue to play.
Yep.
You're not going to be rewarded for the fact that no one in your division has challenged you.
Right.
It's over for you. You're 10-7. Congratulations. You're going to get the 4 seed. So if you want competitive games late in December, this format would make it more likely that a team would have to continue to play.
Right, and the only reason the Bills continued to play was because they're still mathematically available for the one seed.
The 1 seed.
But they were the only team in the AFC with a shot at it.
Right.
No one else was.
Right. Had the Bills lost to the Chiefs on that game in November, we would have been talking about the Bills resting their starters for 2 weeks, with 2 weeks to go, 3 weeks to go. Well, we know they got a home game. Don't get anybody hurt. You're not going to get the 1. You're probably going to be about 2 or 3. It would not have just been, you know, take Josh Allen out against New England. The second to last game of the season would have very much been like, eh.
Right.
Whatever. Don't really need anything
here.
Take a month off. You're locked into a home game, and you decide if the 2 versus the 3 versus the 4, how much that matters. So to keep the playoff race alive throughout the entire year, I think it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. 803-0550. If you want to throw a thought our way on this, we're happy to have a conversation either way. I've been convinced. Brad in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brad, good morning.
All right. Hear me out. I still think the division winner should get the upper seat. So say Houston wins their division at 10-7. Buffalo wins theirs at 13-4, but Miami wins the first wild card at 12-5.
Yeah.
So Miami has a better record than Houston, and say they also have a better record than Baltimore, but Baltimore is 11-6. So Baltimore is a higher seed than Houston. So Houston has to play Miami. They're still the 4 seed, so they're playing the 5 seed. But because Miami has a better record, they get home field. And if Miami meets Baltimore, they get home field because their record's better than Baltimore's as well. But they're still the 5th seed. So
you want to keep the seeds but have the game hosted by the better team?
But with the better record. That's correct.
Why wouldn't you
hang up, listen to your comments?
Well, Brad, let me ask you this, though, Brad. Why would you want to do it that way? Why would you not just give Miami the higher seed instead?
Because Miami didn't win their division. The division winner.
But it still
count.
If I understand, I just want to understand here. They didn't win the division. You wouldn't give them the number next to their name, but you would give them the home game.
The advantage of it.
Right. Right, exactly. So they would still be considered the number one wild card. But if they play a team who is a higher seed, but they have a better record, they will get the home field.
I guess
otherwise, Miami will not be the number 2 seed because they have the second best record.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Whoever wins that game and then goes to the next round, who hosts? Is it the team with the best record?
Yep, the team with the better record will host.
Okay, that's basically the proposal. It seems like you don't want the seed, you don't want them to get the I don't know what.
But it's not a proposal because if Miami is the fifth seed, they're the first wild card.
Yeah,
they will play the 4th seed. And if they will have the home field advantage because they have the better record. Now when it comes in, if they play, they're the 5th seed, if everybody wins out, then Miami would have to go to the number 1 seed, which is, say, it's Kansas City. It's always Kansas.
It's really just about the matchup, less about the home field.
It's more about the matchup, right, and then the home field is based on your record. Does that make sense?
A little bit. I'm getting it as it's less about who's playing where, but more the integrity of wanting to play to keep the seeding the way that it is, but move the idea of the home versus away game, kind of, right?
Right. Okay. Exactly, Nate. That's exactly right. So the seeding will stay the same, but where you play will be based on your record. That's all.
Okay. I guess I don't understand why the need to compromise that.
Yeah, that just makes it a little more complicated. But what he's saying is, instead of it being this year,
instead of the team, instead of the number 1 wild card that has a better record than the division champ,
that would only
getting the higher number. They just get to host that team, but not get the higher number.
That would kind of only affect 1 or 2 matchups, though. It would affect either the 4 and 5, maybe the 3 and 6.
I mean,
it would never affect the 2 and 7.
Right.
It never would have.
So what you would be saying there, okay, here's a better example, or a different example, Brad, is I'm trying to understand what you're offering here. The 6 seed has 12 wins,
mm-hmm.
hosts the 3 seed that had 11.
Yes.
The team that has the 12, the 6 wins. Do they go to Kansas City because they're the 6 versus just having given them the higher seed? That's what he's getting at. Loosely, I believe.
Yeah, it just gets convoluted.
I tend to agree that I don't understand the need to compromise that. Why wouldn't it just be okay to give Miami, they finish with the second best record in the AFC. Why is it wrong to give them the 2 seed? They're the second best team.
Yeah.
The Bills win 15. Miami wins 13. How many years has this happened? There's a year where Jacksonville and Tennessee in like 2001 or something, 2003, somewhere along the way, Nate, the Jags went 14-2, and their only 2 losses were to the Titans.
Mm.
And the Titans would have been a wild card team that year, and then they beat them in the playoffs again and beat them all 3 times.
Right.
Might have been the year the Titans went to the Super Bowl. Maybe.
Okay.
But the point is, in that scenario, which, again, like this is – is it rare? It's not even about how often the records end up this way. What the league's main motivation is don't reward Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Don't reward the Rams because their division turned into a mess and they have – they're 9-6 and we know they're going to get a home game. Instead of just saying like, okay, Rams, you can kind of hang out for a while because you've already got your home game. Instead of allowing them to bank that, you'd say like, no, you got to keep playing for that. Top four teams, in this case, number one's on a bye, 2, 3, and 4 in record are going to get a home game.
Yeah.
And again, like to point out divisions, how do they decide the number one seed? It's only record. How do you decide who won the division? It's only record.
Yeah.
How do you decide seeding? That's when division shows up. It's the first time it shows up. Your division record doesn't show up. Your conference record isn't what gets you the one seed. This is not like in college football, there's a little bit of a marrying of this as well. Your overall record versus your conference record.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL, we have all the other stuff as tiebreakers. Actual only record is king. That's...
You're right. It's so much different in college football because you could go 0-4 and out of conference play and go 7-0 in conference play and go to the championship game against an undefeated team.
Right.
Because the division and conference matters, but there are more than three teams that you're playing.
Right.
And I think for the league to not use division record really in any other...
It's just a tiebreaker.
And it'd be so punitive in how they place you in the playoffs, I think it's closer to getting the division a little bit more balanced, where there's so much that goes into the division in terms of winning it, but it's only record. It doesn't really have to do with your division. Yeah, I think we're all just a little flawed on what the division value actually is. Because to your point, it's just the better record. So it's right now, I think there's this idea that divisions really matter in the current seedings.
And they kind of
don't.
It's
still your best. Who's got the better record?
The only thing that they continue to matter for is this home game.
It would matter.
Which I guess is the point that many are making. If you got rid of this, the division would entirely go away. Like, okay. You'd still get a playoff spot locked in. You get a berth, right? That's like winning the Patriot League. Like, okay, you made it to the NCAA tournament. You win that, you get in. But you're not going to get a high seed because of it.
Right.
You're just going to get in. So it'd be a little bit more like that kind of format. 803-0550. Thanks, Brad, for the phone call and the thought experiment. Anybody else wants to throw something our way? Happy to have you. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe today on a hump day Wednesday here on WGR.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.